For those of you who don't know, I think probably all of you do know, the process of the passing under the rod has been going on for the last 2 days. And it is far more than we ever dreamed of in terms of its implications. A lot of you have finished the process. And so in the spirit, you're standing on the other side of the Jordan in the promise. And, from God's standpoint, we have to wait now for everyone. That there would be no one left behind because they were lame or out of the way. How many have gone through it? Well, Judy has confronted it twice, three times.
Like limbo, how low
can you go? Judy, they've confronted the rod three times, but they haven't quite made it under yet.
You keep bumping on me.
But it is probably the single most liberating phenomena once it's completed that you can ever experience. Tom and Darlene are probably the greatest example. They were in so much fear they couldn't hardly breathe.
Not Tom and Darlene.
Huh?
Not Tom and Darlene.
Not our Tom and Darlene.
And it was just like when it was assessed and presented, I mean it was like there's everybody, Rex was wild.
Yeah. Rex said, and he's been married 5 times, it was the best experience of his life.
Did you really say that?
That's what he said.
No, but that's a good ad
lib. No, you told me that.
You told me that on the phone. Oh,
I did?
Yes, you did.
Yep.
And at that point, remember I said I was coming home to stand in your shadow.
I can't even remember what was going on.
So, the anesthesia hasn't worn off yet.
And for Ed, it was an affirmation that, it's just wild. It was like, he was, if you can imagine, Ed got up and said, I'm svelte, I'm svelte.
The
question is,
he left his butt in Egypt.
The question is, did comps that ate Ed get excited or not?
Got a honey.
Now there's a different mode of operation that we as a people will be about after this process is completed. Up to this point, as long as you were spiritually in the wilderness, then you had a cloak, a covering, that caused your unbelief to be excused, that caused your sloth to be excused, that caused your continual movement towards desire to be, pushed towards these various things to be excused. Once you pass under the rod, there's no more cloak. And every thought is brought into the obedience, into captivity, to the obedience of Christ. In the wilderness, you can play the childish games of I want, I desire. When I get this, then I'll be happy. When I get that, then it'll be all right. But the promised land is the second circumcision. It's what happens when the nation of Israel was circumcised as the first thing that happened to them when they entered the promise. It's the passing under the rod. It's the affirmation of the words of Christ that, lo, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, i.e. the passage of time. That for you, now, the kingdom of God is complete within you. And the process that'll take place in you is that, you know, you've spent a lot of time musing and dwelling on your, on some time in the future. You've never been able to live in the now. The reason you haven't is that you didn't know that the dwelling in the future, and that it was, you know, all the stuff we've talked about lately, that it was spiritual usury, that it's an illegal form, and therefore you never can have any enjoyment for now because you've spent it all in the future. And that when your obedience is fulfilled, is what happens, is the passing under the rod and the promise, then you, from that point forward, have a readiness to revenge the disobedience instantly, without mercy. Yeah. That rather than sitting around and saying, if only, the moment the if only comes to you, it's revenged. That's what it means to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then, by a mystery, with no conscious effort on your part, your heart's desire is fulfilled in more abundant ways than you can even dream of. But you cannot excuse this. You got to remember, the reason that Judas denied Christ was because he did not meet the expectations of Judas to establish the kingdom of God on earth. Judas didn't make it when he passed under the rod. Never will. The kingdom of God is complete now within you. And all that your desire is for is to test and tear at that flesh until the circumcision of the heart is complete. And there's no skin left hanging on the head. It's a biggie, but it's joy unspeakable. Now, in the process, if you read, I hope you guys study Joshua, because that's where we are. It doesn't matter whether you've been here 5 minutes or you've been here 15 years. At the moment of this crossing, there's no difference.
Yeah.
There's no remembrance even. Now, in the case here, what happened? Joshua sent 2 spies into the promise. And they came back and reported, "Oh, this is a fine place. This is where everything you've ever desired is made manifest. This is your fulfillment of your destiny. This is wonderful. This is the greatest place there is. This is..." Well, in the spirit, Bloom and I represent those 2 spies. And we're coming back and we're telling you, man, you got to get over here. In the process, they had to go into the walls of Jericho, into the city, into that defense city, and they had to find an ally. The ally they found was a whore. And the whore was just tired of being a whore. And she reported to them the weaknesses. And then she let them down out of the window. And they returned to report to the rest of Israel. Then a scarlet thread was hanging from her high place. And the name of the whore was Rahab. And she and all her household were saved. Now all of you are whores. You've got to know that by now. You've got a jillion high place identities. But all of you have been whores all your life. Now let the whore, remember the whore was the first one to see the resurrected Christ. As soon as she's out, then the walls of Jericho will fall. The walls that are separating you from people. The walls that have locked you into this incessant aloneness. Your incessant ability or inability to communicate. Your incessant inability to have your heart's desire satisfied are because of the walls of Jericho that were within you, and they're high and thick. But this is a metaphor. What's going on in you. Now it's time to go in and possess the land. It doesn't matter whether you understand all the religious implications. All of you know what I'm talking about because all of you have been whores. All of you have sold yourselves your entire lives for things that you didn't want to do. Or something within each of you that knows that you were created for freedom, for destiny, for lack of bondage, for abundance. Now just let that scarlet thread down. And Moses, who's the type of the law, couldn't enter the promise. And the law in you is all of your rationality, all of the way that thing's supposed to work. When they get up to here, and the farthest that Moses could get was Mount Nebo. And then Moses had to die in order that Joshua might take over. Well, Joshua in Hebrew is Yeshua. Yeshua in Greek and English is Jesus. You've spent a lifetime under the law, serving the law, trying to make it work by the way the thing works. It doesn't work that way anymore because Moses is about to die. That Yeshua, HaMashiach, can become the rightful heir of the land. All of your grasping for friends, grasping for love, grasping for meaning, grasping for identity, always trying to make it and never quite reaching it. Part of the law. Now the law is going to die so that you can be married to another. So that the resurrection cannot be any longer simply an intellectual construct. So that the resurrection, reality of your life. That you'll again eat the flesh of another human being for your sustenance. You'll never again care the way the Gentiles care. There's some interesting stuff in Joshua. I'm gonna... Now, Moses just died. Just accept me. Trust me in this. Some of you haven't crossed over. Some of them have. Some of us are stuck in the middle of the river. I can't go in until everybody's gone in. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, is the promised land. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. You shall never again be intimidated or be a respecter of persons. I'm going to read that again. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. This is what Jesus Christ was talking about when he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He was using and completing the metaphor that was revealed in the book of Joshua. I'm going to read it one more time. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. Not parents, not enemies. There shall This is what freedom is. Or you're never again intimidated by another person. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance. Only be strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe the observance of the commandments is to bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. The moment you think you're left alone, the evil one has risen his head again. There can never be a thought again within you. There can never be a word from your lips that isn't him. That's the secret that Jesus knew, that you've heard me speak about intellectually, but now you're going to experience. You are speaking from the mercy seat. You are speaking from the oracle of God. You can never again leave it. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Don't be tossed to and fro with every wind and wave of doctrine where men lie in wait to deceive you any longer. I write unto you, young men, in the Spirit, because you are strong and the Word of God continually never ever leaves you. It abides in you continually. And you have overcome the evil one. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And the book of the law shall never depart out of your mouth. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God hath given you to possess it. Well, then they go on. They go through. Process. And then something happens.
So it's such a weird feeling to be here with, you know, all these people. For one reason, it's like, I feel like we're, you know, somewhere encamped or something. It's really weird.
Yeah, right there. But the process has started. Some have gone over. But they camp at Gilgal is where you camp. The word Gilgal
7-Eleven?
What'd he say?
7-Eleven.
Your dental can till 7-Eleven.
Really? Spurge your point, you yeah. Followed up and you just dumped them all.
To be funny.
Then that this heart, the circumcision of the heart process is completed, and they call the place Gilgal. This day I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Then the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and they kept the Passover. And that's what we're preparing for. We will have a Passover like I'm sure the world has never seen. I had just happened to have Ali is Jewish, and he's been raised Orthodox Jewish. He will die when he sees our Passover. It's the same Seder, but it's wild.
Yeah. It's
unorthodox.
Unorthodox,
actually.
It's a Seder, but it's not today.
But that's what's set before us. And the passing under the rod is the crossing over the Jordan. It's really like, it's two or three things. It's crossing over the Jordan, it's cutting away the last vestiges of skin from your heart.
What was the thing about Egypt? The
rolling away the reproach of Egypt. Yeah. That's, Gilgal is the Hebrew word for rolling, or it's really the Hebrew word for a circle. It's rolling away the reproach of Egypt. The reproach of Egypt is the Gentile mind. The law of the mind of cause and effect, the mind of reward punishment, because it can't accept grace. But do you have any, you know, talk to me. Talk to me about some of you that have gone through. Don't tell what your asset. Don't tell what your assessment was. But wait a minute here.
Absence of againstness. 24 hours and it's just been nothing. You know, I bear witness to what you said about the camp because it's like. You know, but it's like I'm in a hidden place that no one else knows. Nothing that ever beset me before can find me anymore. You know, it's like, and I had this most tremendous headache woke me up before 4 o'clock this morning and kept me up until long after Darlington got up, but there was no againstness there. It was just a headache. I mean, you know, it doesn't make sense. I know that makes sense, but normally you get a headache and you get feeling sorry for yourself, and boy, God has really beaten my ass up. What did I do wrong? You know, I would have been, you know, none of that. I just had a headache. You know, I laid there and I, you know, did the acupuncture things, and I took aspirin and I tried to go back to sleep. But there's no againstness, and it was just like, wow. So anyway, absence of againstness.
That's what peace means. Shalom means the absence of againstness.
We got out of the car after we were leaving. We sat there for a minute, and I said, you know, I had all these ideas before we went in there about, okay, they can have this and this and this, or what if they ask for this? Okay. And we went in there, and
your little dog, too.
And out of the car for summer, and I just thought, I said, man, you know, it was like night and day, and I feel like, you know, it's like everything. Everything was given, everything, you know, everything I had, mind, body, soul, I don't know, it's just like, and it was great, you know.
Yeah, it was really weird. We went in there with a mental list of, you know, well, we'll negotiate this. We have this because we don't use it.
Can you imagine anybody trying to negotiate with John and I?
Hell yeah. I bear witness to that.
But I mean, it's like, I got there and I thought, you know, regardless of whatever it is, we just gave everything. It was such a wild thing.
Yeah.
It was neat.
Yeah. You now can understand why God says he loves a cheerful giver.
We felt so good about giving everything that we wanted to, we can charge him back over to pick up Tammy. We're going to take everybody there out to eat. But John and Joyce Anna were already fixing lasagna, so I ran off and got dessert for everybody. And everybody was there.
Everybody that came in. Yeah.
You know, we just, it was so great just to sit around, you know.
The thing that I want you all to see from this is that you have been given more abundance than you can dream of.
Yeah, when you're talking about being...
And now the instructions come as the minor commandments that, man, all you have to do is give of it. You never have to even think about getting ever again.
Yeah.
And the giving of everything, meeting needs fully around you. It's awesome. You don't have to... You're not the subject of the sentence anymore.
Yeah.
I felt all day after this, it's still, I feel like it doesn't feel like a dream or something, I know, but I feel real light, and a sense of acceptance. You know, that's my whole thing, my whole life, not being accepted, not always falling short, and the acceptance I feel. And I was driving down Mockingbird, and I completely forgot where I was at.
Where am I at? Where am I going?
I don't know where I was at.
Because where am I?
Yeah,
you're a Timberlong. Hell of a place to get lost.
Go back and still get lost.
Like a generic word.
For me, it was freedom to speak with authority. Right. Today, you know, we did growth, and it was like just whack. And it was trusting it without any second thoughts anymore.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, it was the freedom of knowing that I don't have to be bound by all the things that...
Yeah, one of the things that you're free from is trying to trying to learn anything. Mm-hmm. I mean that's a biggie. Because most of you, at least when you start coming here, you think, oh, I gotta learn all this. Mm-hmm. You don't have to learn a damn thing. All you have to do is have your senses exercised so you can tell soul from spirit instantly, and all things are there.
Yeah, amen. It's always bothered me that I don't have this huge, you know, log of scriptural references that I can just pull out and, you know, whoop up on somebody out in the world. It's like, if I get into a scripture battle, it's like, you know.
Bar of Dugs.
But, you know, if
Doug's got a very dull sword lately.
I mean, if the word abides in me and all this stuff is true, I mean, you know, and the word is meant to you, you know, you don't need scripture to somehow validate.
Yeah, you are the word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's, I was thinking today, it's like, look out, world.
Yeah.
You know, it's like realizing what the apostles felt and saw, and realizing that all is in our hands, and look out, world. You ain't seen nothing yet.
I was thinking, so I was here, jumping in for what I've been thinking, this is just all the things that I enjoy doing, you know, and all the things that I've always wanted to do, and now I know that it's I'm going to do it.
Still.
You know, I don't know how and when and stuff yet, but, you know, things like writing and, you know, I can't draw at all, but I've always wanted to do, you know, artistic kind of stuff, and that's, you know, like I said, I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's just like knowing it's, you know, it's all there.
It's right there.
It's,
yeah. On that, I was trying to get Darlene to say something else, because on that score, well, I was asking if she has anything to say. I figured she'd say something different, but whenever Darlene and I have tried to hold a Bible study in the past, there's always been an argument, because Darlene has felt like if we had hands laid on us as teachers, that meant she was supposed to be a teacher too, you know, but it's when we walked out of here, Ole had said that Darlene's purpose was to praise, you know, and I, you know, it's like everything, you know, we went out and we looked at each other and said, this is what's been going wrong all this time. It's my job to teach. It's her job to agree. You just need somebody to agree with me. You don't need another teacher. Not when I'm right, but to bear witness to when the truth is said.
Yeah.
So Darlene and I have decided to start teaching.
Yay.
We're going to have one night a week and let it go from there.
Great.
So we don't know when yet. Whenever Libby can come, we'll
great.
Be there. But anyway, it's like, you know, we've been beating our heads against the wall, you know, and I can't.
No, that's gone.
It's just great. Yeah.
Praise God.
Now, we are probably the dullest group of disciples in the history of the known universe.
don't.
It took. Dull, stupid, slothful. But I'm sure it has nothing to do with your teacher.
Well, don't be too sure.
But. From Acts 1 to Acts 5 took about, you know, 7 or 8 days. 10 days, 11 days, something like that. For us, from Acts 1 to Acts 5 has taken 14 years.
That was the fault of the teacher.
We live longer, don't we? Yeah.
So, my point to you is that now, when this process is completed next weekend, and when the Passover is finished, now the book of Acts begins in this century.
God.
You understand? And everything within that book of Acts and far more will be duplicated by you.
I'm ready for that.
I'm glad. Do you understand me? We have no idea what the hell is going to happen. We know that we will be persecuted and despised and spit upon and think we're ridiculous people.
It's true.
But you can never again suffer as an individual. Yes, you again never can ever have a problem. Yeah. You cannot have a doubt because you are identified with a people, a body. Can you imagine your niece saying, oh, poor me, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to go and leave the body and go take care of this or in order for me to be healthy. That's what my knee thinks all the time. You can't, you understand me? You cannot be separate ever again. You have overcome the evil one that has defined your separation, defined your continual search for worth, that has defined your continual struggle to say, who am I? Now your obedience has been fulfilled, has been completed. Now the book of Acts can begin. Now, of course, the first thing that happens is you get put in prison. But then what happens next? The prison door is just sort of... But it doesn't matter what's going to happen. That's what I'm trying to get to you. You now have the most important vocation, avocation in the universe. You have what everybody in the universe dreams of having. Yeah. Jill and I were talking earlier that there's nothing wrong with a communist manifesto. This is it. We are communists. From each according to his ability, to each according to his need. Without regard, all that Marx did was try to set up the kingdom of God on earth. Now you're free now, you can begin to study something. You can study the book of Joshua, which we've never studied. To see what this track, to see a picture of this track. You can study and understand Ephesians. Ephesians is about where we are right now. You can study Acts to see a picture of what's set before us. It won't be the same thing because we never know what the hell's going to happen next. That's what makes it fun.
That's what we've always called fun.
Yeah,
that what this has been always.
John kept saying all day, I bet Oli and John are having a lot of fun today. And you know, and
I they did it in at least one case.
They did it in at least one case.
One case. It was true.
No, we set Harry out so that he and I could talk about the assessment, and Harry's sitting out there, and I didn't realize it. John and I didn't realize it, but he's looking in the window. He's sitting in a lawn chair out there, and we're laughing, busting our ass laughing. And John looks out of the side of his eyes and sees that Harry's first.
They're in here adding up the check. I walk in, and they...
No, but what happened?
Get him for that.
What happened? What happened was, I decided I better change things a bit, so I quickly put some clear eyes in my eyes to look like I had been crying.
Oh. Ira, get the stick. You know the
Have you seen alligator tears or crocodile tears? You know why they cry? They cry to lubricate their eyes just before they eat their food.
I was wondering about that.
Do we have dessert?
Yes.
Let's take it.
I got Doc $300 for getting to bring the list, Tom and Darlene's list. So they're all sitting around going, where's the list, John? I go, list. So, beware.
Bring the list.
For some of you, I think that you can begin to understand what the overriding purpose of God is, and that's to reveal His mercy.
Yeah.
Mercy is what we're about. No more judgment. We don't want, no more judgment. We do never, I guarantee you, we don't want justice.
No justice.
Justice is bad news, at least for me. Maybe some of you are real neat, but if I expected justice, I'm in deep shit. Mercy is what I want. Mercy is what I need to survive. Now, once you cross the Jordan, the manna ceases, which is an interesting phenomenon. The manna ceases, and there's more battles. Manna ceases, and instead of manna, you eat the Passover. Now you eat of the flesh and be sustained by the blood of the Lamb of God. I know this sounds weird and mystical, but it's real.
Yeah. And mystical.
And mystical. But real. And that's the reason that we have a table to eat on that they know not of. That's why we can say with Christ that we have bread to eat that they know not of. We can no longer and will no longer eat at the table of the Gentiles. Now we can begin the process of a deeper understanding of Passover, because if we now can see that if it isn't for Passover, we can't survive. Amen?
Amen.
So, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it, saying,
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth.
Bringeth forth the bread of life now from you as the earthen vessel, so that you will become the bread to feed someone else. Amen. He said, eat, this is my body.
Ooh, good
mouth. 6:44. And he took the cup. And he gave thanks. He said, thank you. No. He said, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine. He said, this is my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sin. You've got to understand this at some point, that the act of eating that cracker and drinking this wine is a total and complete affirmation of the covenant that God made with Abraham.
Amen.
God has accomplished it all while Abraham was asleep. And God walked that through the sacrifice. And as he walked through the sacrifice, he was saying, this promise is not conditional upon Abraham or upon you. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, for you to perform or you to accomplish. That God said, it is so sure a covenant that if either party fails, God will die. That's what the covenant was. Now we failed, and God died. But now God is resurrected in you, not in some historical perspective, not in some Babylonian hope of the future, not in some secretly worshiping of Tammuz, but the resurrected Christ now. And when you eat that bread and drink that wine in knowledge, with understanding, you are affirming that God, the creator of the universe, is obligated himself to treat your flesh, your needs, your being as his needs. That's what this means. And he can't have a need, folks. So you and he are now truly one flesh and one blood. You were one flesh by the act of eating the flesh. Now you will be one blood by the act of drinking the blood. And once this understanding of the covenant, an understanding of the Passover, an understanding of this weekly process of the agape feast takes place and permeates you, you'll be more free than you've ever dreamed of being, more abandoned than you've ever dreamed of being. Be careful, being careful for nothing. Amen?
Amen.
To life.